Blues Man is. That's a misprint. That's next week. So gotta wait for that. Let anticipation build. As many of you know, we're sort of looking at loosely a movie that I really can't recommend as a good Christian movie. It's called The Blues Brothers, and they are on a mission from God. That's why we use it. Because they had recognized that the orphanage which they grew up in, which was where? Rock Island, was in trouble, was about to be closed because they were needing money for taxes. And so they get the idea to make money, and in order to do that, they're going to have to do what? Get the band back together. So that's what we're looking at today is getting the band back together. Now, I want you to know that as you read through the New Testament, there are many letters that Paul is writing to already existing churches. In other words, he's gone on his missionary journeys, and he has established, and other people have established churches. And what he is doing with these letters is seeking to get the band back together, to get people back on track, to talk about where they have gone off the rails or where they may be steering in the wrong direction. And Paul is basically helping them get back on track. This is true with the church at Philippi. We are looking at the Philippian church today. We start with our third chapter of four chapters of Philippians. And Joy and I are encouraging all of you to read Philippians. And today we're going to be looking at the third chapter. Now, some of the things you can do this week as you look at the third chapter of Philippians is take some of the advice of John Wesley, who's the founder of the Methodist Church. First, you can read it, and then you can hear it. That means maybe the next day read significant sections of chapter 3 out loud so you can hear it, or have somebody else read it, and you can be listening along. Also, you can mark specific words that stand out to you, and you can in essence write those words out. Sometimes writing out significant parts of Scripture slow you down enough that you can really get the message of what is being said. So you may want to just practice that this week as you look at this relatively short bit of Scripture, but take the full week to fully read it. Now, we're going to start that process today as we look at Philippians 3. If you turn to 1180 in the Bibles, 1180, you'll see Philippians 3 starting with the first verse. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Now, you're going to be finding that now and also in chapter 4, this theme of Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord. Now, just a reminder of when this was written. This was written after the church had been established, and Paul is in prison in Rome. And yet he's, even with all the difficulties that he's facing, he's saying to them, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Now, this is what he's saying in terms of keeping the band together or putting the band back together. The Christians need to understand that what is been told to them and what he has written to them and what he encourages them to do is their safeguard. Other ways to translate this is that it is a certainty or it is factual. And then in verse 2, it says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast of in Jesus Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such success. And then he goes on and talks about, if anybody had an opportunity to boast, it would be Paul. He's saying all the different things. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, and he's referring to the Christian church, as for righteousness based on the law, I am faultless. What he's plotting out is the reality that he has quite a pedigree. He has all the credentials, and he's heading to the top. He's climbed that ladder. He's well respected. Nobody can fault him. Now, look at verse 7. He says, but whatever were gains to me, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Now, I want to back up there a minute. Joy got away with this in the first two services, so I'm going to try it. I just want to let you know that this is the cleaned up version when it comes to translation. Paul is talking about all the achievements that he's had in his life, all the worldly achievements, everything that he has been able to do by himself, how he's been able to get to a certain point. And what does he call them? I consider them what? Garbage. Do you want to know what the Greek translation of that word really is? Are you sure? Dog poop. I guess they just didn't feel like they could put that in the translation. You know? That just really okay. Dog dung. Okay. Like, hey, I didn't write it, folks. Don't get mad at me. Now, you know, just imagine, if you will, people walking their dog, and they have what? A little baggie, right? Dog does their business. What do? Put that in a bag. The dog's really happy about that. Hey, that must be valuable. Walking the dog, holding the bag. Paul is saying, everything that I've accomplished is like that bag. That's what it's like. And he's willing to put all of that aside to gain a righteousness in Jesus Christ. And he's reminding the church, he's reminding the band, get back together. Understand what we are to be about. This stuff is worthless, stinks, compared to what we are really to be about. Now, if you look on, verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. We talked about this last week, about becoming Christ-like. And Paul is once again affirming that, saying, I want to know Christ. I want to be as close to Christ as I possibly can be. And this is a message for all of us. In verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on and take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And look on down, you can see, you can read this. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward for what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Forgetting what is behind, sometimes it's hard to do, isn't it? And straining forward for what's ahead. Sometimes there's arguments and obstacles and different things that come up in our paths that make it hard to strain forward for the future. But I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Now that pretty well sets us up to where we are with our scripture today. If you read right before what will come up on the wall, it says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. This is verse 15 and 16. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So he's saying, okay, let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to what God is calling us to do. And here it is with verse 17 and following. Join together in following my example. Join together. Get the band back together and follow my example. As I follow Jesus Christ. Follow my examples, brothers and sisters. Just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears. This is an emotional thing for him. Many live as enemies of Christ, of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is their own, is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. You see, that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a Christ follower, that's what we have to look forward to. This place in heaven with Jesus. These earthly bodies that we have will someday be no more, and they will be replaced with a glorified, a glorious body. We will be there with Jesus. And right now, as we get back on track, we want to remember what we are to be about. If you look on the front cover of your bulletin there, or on the back of somebody's t-shirt that's gray, you'll see the graphic that we have. We are on a mission from God. Let's look at that a little more closely as we get back to what we are to be about. What's the first word? We. Notice it doesn't say you. It doesn't say they. It says we. We're united. Christ Church and East Moline and Christ Church Silvis, it's not an us and they. It's a we. Are. Notice that doesn't say was or in the future. It's we are. Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, we are moving forward. We're straining forward. We are what? On a mission. On a mission. That means we are to be about doing something. What is that something? Well, it's already been spelled out for us. We say it this way. We seek to make Christ famous in the Quad Cities. Well, where does that come from? Where does that idea of glorifying Christ with all that we do, where does that come from? It comes from Matthew 28, verses 19 and following. It's right at the end of Matthew. It's called the Great Commission, where Jesus tells his followers, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he ends all that. He ends Matthew by saying, and I will be with you always. You see, as we do this mission, we are not alone. God is with us. Jesus Christ is with us. He will be with us always. Now, how do we do this? How do we get the band back together? Well, one of the things that Joy and I are going to do is we're going to get the band together in about 15 or more different meetings. We're willing to take those nights and have people in our house, and we'll be looking at different things that are going on. We'll be looking at some of the things we've taken off the shelf, other things that we feel Christ is calling us to do. And you know, we want everyone to be on the same page. We want to be transparent. We want to share vision. And I hope you can make one of those meetings. Like I said, if you don't get something, has anybody got anything in the mail yet? Okay. If you haven't, you may want to contact the church and our church office and say, hey, I'd like to be a part of that. If you are not a member of our church and still want to come, you are more than welcome to be a part of one of those meetings. So please go ahead and sign up, and we'll get you at one of those meetings. But that's a way to get together so that we can go out. Another way to do that is coming up Saturday. You've had opportunities here to sign up for an event in Silvis. I want you to know that the race in the morning, we're one of the main sponsors of that race. And last year, we had a sea of blue shirts there. And this year, I hope we have a sea of blue shirts and gray shirts and even the purple shirts. All of them say Christ Church on the front. But I hope that we can be there. And once again, have quite a presence of support of that race. We made an impact last year. The Corn Belt Running Club actually had in their newsletter an article about that crazy church that was at the Silvis run, and how they really made an incredible difference on that run, and people were talking about it. And one of the things that we did last year, and I hope you'll do it this year, is that we're going to be serving food, and that, you know, that's been taken care of. We got food's going to be there, and you can be a part of that. You can be serving the food as runners come in. They'll be hungry. They'll want cookies and grapes and orange slices and bananas, things like that. We have that taken care of. You can help pass those out, but even more so, the thing that is really awesome, and I don't know of any other race that does this. People will applaud on the path and as runners are running, and then also as at the finish line. That's expected. But what about if we had about 50 gray shirts and blue shirts that say Christ Church on it? As they come around to where the food is, every single one gets people clapping and cheering for them. Yeah, you did it. You finished. That's what you all did last year that participated. We want to do that same thing again this year. That makes a difference. And you'll want to be there right at the start of the race, because our own Sean Easton is going to be doing the national anthem again. And he's going to knock it out of the park. So, you know, that's something you can do. Also, the parade. You know, there's going to be about 15,000 people watching that parade. And we're going to have a float, you know, we got this float ready. It's got a huge sign. This is Christ United Methodist Church. And we used this cross last year that has so many lights on it. You can see it from the solar eclipse. I mean, it's going to be that bright. But wouldn't it be great if we had 50, 60 people wearing the shirts walking in that parade? And the Blues Brothers are going to, you know, the Christ Church's own Blues Brothers are going to be walking in that parade. When will you ever have the opportunity to walk with Christ Church's Blues Brothers? You know, so that'll be in the evening. It's in there, and it's a way that you can, in essence, make a difference for Jesus Christ. Putting other things aside. I know it's a sacrifice. I know I'm asking a lot, but it's a significant thing that we do. So hopefully you will give up your Saturday to do things for Jesus Christ on that day. Now, I want to just mention one other thing. We've got a third site that we became responsible for. It's in Carbon Cliff. And we're doing different things there. We had the Eagle Ridge Child Outreach Program in July, and the Walk to Emmaus is using it this month for training sessions. But I was out there in the community walking basically down the street in front of the church and just meeting people. And I met a couple, and it was a younger couple, but he said, you know, I used to go to church there. When they had Sunday school, I went to church there as a kid. And they have this bell. Does that bell still work? Well, I think it does. He says, they used to ring that bell every Sunday morning to bring people to church. Wouldn't it be neat to hear that bell again? And then his wife, he said, you know, we need to get the community back together again. But I thought to myself, oh, that's going to be a good sermon illustration this Sunday. She did. She said, we need to get the community back together again. What better way can we do that than to open up that building as a center for people to know Jesus Christ? Hopefully, we can truly do that, that we can be a significant presence in Carbon Cliff and make Christ famous in the Quad City area. Amen? We are on a mission. We are on a mission from God, and I want you to see this video. You got to see this video.
Psst. Did you know we are on a mission from God? Let's do this.
We're on a mission from God.
We're on a mission from God.
Mission from God. We are on a mission from God.
We're on a mission from God.
All stand together. We need your help on this. Really sing out.
Thank you.
I gotta do. Once you remember Saturday, be there, hopefully, and participate. And then remember we have worship next Sunday, same bat time, same bat station. God just had to do it. Go and share your faith with someone who needs love, forgiveness, or hope. Point them toward God. Let him save them as he is saving you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God shouted.
Amen.
Amen.
My God's not dead. He's surely alive.
He's living on the inside, roaring like